Pickaxe.
You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYNads.com.
Good morning, everyone. Hello and welcome. It's a 2 degrees Celsius morning here in Bristol.
Is it?
The sun is low on the horizon. So low, in fact, that it's like streaming in through my lounge windows, unusually so. A weird angle. It's making everything look slightly weird. Mm. I feel like winter is here.
I haven't seen the sun in a long time.
Really?
Yeah. Wow.
Crikey.
It's just vanished here in Twickenham. It's been grey and boring. But I see blue sky today.
Mm, yeah,
oh, but there's the clouds. You know when the clouds look like they've been painted on and it's really a bad job?
Yeah.
Like it's a really low-res bitmap. That is the clouds in the sky at the moment. They do not look real, which feeds into the flat Earth conspiracies.
Yeah, really. I mean, I think
fake those clouds look, bro. I can't believe you're buying it.
Great segue into an important topic that I feel like we need to... to talk about. We've never covered flat Earth, have we?
We have.
Oh, we have?
Almost, I'm sure we have.
In very casually throwaway, insulting ways.
No, I said that I was really into it. I'm pretty sure this is going back. I was really into following it and laughing at it and all the rest of it. And then I realized a few things. First of all, that a lot of the people who are real old school flat earthers are just deeply religious. And they believed that bit in the Bible that says that God made the earth and placed it upon the pillars of the earth or creation or something. So they thought, yeah. Oh, there must be literal pillars.
I think that was a World of Warcraft storyline as well at one point.
Well, there you go. But I mean, because if you take it literally, means there is no room for metaphor in anything that's said in the Bible at any point. So if it says pillars... well, then there must be literal physical pillars holding up something, and it couldn't be a ball. We'd see the pillars, so it must be flat. Like that's so. There's really no fun arguing with people.
You
like that.
You can still have pillars holding up a round thing,
right? But what if you're near the pillars on the round thing? You'd be able to see them if you went onto whatever part of the earth the pillars are in contact with. You'd be able to see a fucking great pillar extending into infinity. Holding up the earth, wouldn't you?
No, but it's underneath the earth, P-Flex. You wouldn't see it.
Right. Is the earth round, Lewis? Is it a ball?
It would have to be like bicycle spokes, pillars, round.
If the earth isn't flat and the pillars aren't beneath it, we would be able to see the pillars. If the earth was a ball and the ball was resting on four pillars, when you're on the part of the ball near the pillars, you will be able to see these gigantic fucking cosmic pillars. That's the point. Is that the pillars don't allow for it to be a sphere, or you'd just ask, well, where are these pillars you're talking about?
I don't understand. You can have pillars in a sphere, you just have to have them on little plinths. Like a tetragonal, like a 3D, it would be like one of those 3D shapes, like with little layers on it. It wouldn't be perfectly spherical inside.
No, are you talking about the pillars being inside the sphere?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Obviously,
mind's eye is picturing.
He's talking about resting
inside
on the pillars. Like imagine if you had some pillars and you had a ball and you whacked the ball on top of the pillars like it was in a ship museum. The museum.
How many
of
pillars
balls.
Are we talking about? Just one pillar with like a little cushion on it?
And more than one.
The flat
You'd
earth is resting
the
on the cushion.
If you were on the bottom of the earth, though, P Flex.
What do you mean?
We're on.
We've done it. We've done it.
We did it.
It's only taken how long? 4 minutes.
We did it. We said something completely insane.
So that anyway.
He's here.
That's part of it. The other part of it is people that are just kind of sad and lonely and like being part of something. And then you get the nutters who actually think it's true. So you never know which branch of Flat Earthian you're talking to or arguing with. So what's the point?
Yeah, I guess they have their own factions of nutcases within nutcases.
Also, you've seen the video of the guys doing the experiment that proves that we're not on a flat earth and going, we need to think about this again, and getting the gyroscope and doing the gyroscope experiment. It also proves them wrong. And they're like, something's clearly wrong here. with the gyroscope.
We must have done it wrong.
Yeah, so it's there's like, no point. It's not funny when they're committed and there's no winning them over. It would be like trying to talk someone out of throwing themselves off a cliff, and everything you tell them, they're just like, no, I'm going to do this. After a while, you just want to look away because you've tried everything and they're just not listening and they're going to chuck themselves off.
Yeah, you just have to wait for those people to all just chuck themselves off. You know, I don't think there's any help in them. You know?
But yeah, so that was the flat earth.
Well, they might find something down there. No, who knows?
Just like a bunch of old pop cans and like some empty chip bags and stuff. Just like the breeze took it down
if
there.
The earth was like flat.
Mm.
It would solve quite a lot of problems in terms of like garbage disposal. We could just, like Sip says, we could just push it all off.
Push it all off to
all
the
right, I've got a few questions
sub-earth.
About that.
Yeah.
First of all, it implies that we must be moving because otherwise you'd throw it off and it would just sit there. You just have a pile of garbage around the flat earth. So if you're throwing something off the edge of the earth, what's causing it to fall?
Oh, it would be the gravity of the sub-earth because there'd have to be another earth underneath it to
hold it up. So you're saying that we need a second earth, but who's living on that?
Just garbage. It's called garbage earth.
That's literally just a garbage pile.
Yeah.
But that garbage pile has to have greater gravity than our earth.
Well, yeah, that's what I'm saying. It'll be bigger. So
right, so what's stopping us from falling towards that? Or is that what the pillars are resting on?
Yeah, that's what the pillars are resting on.
Okay.
Yeah.
So the water all flows off the edge anyway, right? So we could just let
it
go
with the flow.
No, it
does not, Lulu.
Just it's overflow, right? It's like the hole in your sink.
There is a giant ice wall, lads. Remember? That's what they think. There's a giant wall of ice, like a mile high, preventing the water from going over the edge.
No. The water all flows off the edge, and then it sort of turns into steam, and it floats back into clouds, and they come back around and rain on it again. That's not how they think. All the garbage doesn't get turned into steam. It just floats off into space.
Sir, they believe there's an
it
ice wall.
It floats off the larger, flatter
I'm sorry
below
to disappoint you.
Into space.
God actually created extra garbage already floating in space, so the Earth would know what to do.
Yeah, that extra garbage is called Mars. Am I right? Fuck you, Mars.
Jeez.
Sorry, I didn't mean to get Mars.
Mars didn't wake up this morning expecting to get owned like that, I'm sure.
Yeah, I know. Jeez. Get fucked, Mars.
God.
It's convenient, though, when we look at Mars, how it's got its sort of flat bit facing towards us. That's quite handy, isn't it?
What do you mean, the moon as well? Flat bit? Well, the moon is rotationally locked to us. And I think that had a major impact on early man. Because you think that must just be like a disc, because we've never seen the other side of it. But Mars rotates.
I've been watching a lot of videos like SpaceX launches, NASA launches, and
they're
and
fun
stuff
to
recently.
Watch, huh?
They're really cool, yeah. But
when
like,
when the fucking rocket comes back and lands,
oh,
that's
I know.
That's nuts.
Yeah, me too. I think that's crazy. I think it's so cool. But
it's so nuts.
I love this day and age where, like, every day we are launching something to space, it feels like. There's a SpaceX launch almost every day, it feels like.
It feels like it.
They've got all these missions that they're running, like Starlink, you know, like they launch like 60 satellites at once and stuff.
Right.
I just think that's like really neat.
Also, other space agencies are launching shit. China launched something to go bring rocks back from the moon.
That's
but
right.
No
yeah.
people, just a robot.
No. But in 2 years' time, NASA are sending more people to the moon. And there's this huge program. It's like this, I think SpaceX are involved. And I think even Jeff Bezos' space agency is involved in some ways. There's all this involvement by all these like contractors in America and stuff. And basically, so they're planning on sending people to the moon, but like
they want to build a base.
They want to build like a little science base on the moon. And
it's
the way to facilitate
center.
This is they're going to build another space station that orbits the moon as like a staging point. So like, when the astronauts blast off from Earth, they go and then they rendezvous with this new space station that's going to be orbiting around the moon. They get off, you know, they go to the toilet and stuff. It takes like 3 days to get there. You know, they brush themselves off a bit, tighten the bolts a little bit.
It's not like a fucking
and
garage.
Then,
it's not like a fucking garage.
Yeah,
on
no, it's like a little hotel, like in space. And
it's
then,
like, oh yeah, we get off, we have a fucking KFC.
Yeah.
And,
but it's got the lunar lander attached to the space station. So they're not going to be bringing the lunar lander with them every time. It's going to stay on the space station.
Hmm.
So when they dock with it, they can take this lunar lander, go down to the moon, do their science and stuff. lift back off, rendezvous with that, with the moon space station, and then get back into their capsule or whatever it is, and then, you know, get back to Earth or whatever.
Yeah, they can, but then they in the future, the arcade and play like Space Invaders and like Costa Lander.
Yeah, there'll be a Costa shit, and like Starbucks and stuff.
Just to get it out of their system. They can crash a few spaceships in games and then, you know, like, because all the truckers get off and play fucking racing games, don't they? These
is it Ad Astra? Ad Astra is that film with, I think, Brad Pitt going into space and never moving his face and showing no expression. It was okay. But they go to the space station and there is all fucking branded shit there and it's like,
Well, I don't think the space station is going to be a bit like the ISS, right? Where it's just going to be like lots of little hallways that you float through with, you know, like tinfoil everywhere and stuff. I don't think there's going to be any shops or anything like that.
No.
But they're going to use this to stage missions in the future to go to Mars as well, which is kind of exciting. I don't know. I just feel like it's such a cool time to be alive, you know?
Oh, God.
I got a phone call.
Alarm?
It's a phone call. Here, let me just take this quick. I'll be 2 seconds, okay?
It's Elon.
Oh.
Good day, Sips. Listen, stop talking shit about the Musk station, okay? I don't think we put a Starbucks up there, that's our business, not yours. I don't think he's got that harsher a Saffir accent.
Not anymore. Probably not, no.
We've got to go to bloody Mars.
Wow. Could you imagine the competition? Jeff Bezos versus Musk going to Mars. I mean, God.
Yeah. Versus Gates, who's now dropped to third. He was the second richest man in the world. Now he's third behind Musk.
Wow.
But here's the thing, right? Explain this to me, Lewis. Whenever I watch Dragon's Den... Whenever I watch Dragon's Den, what do they say? They say, we'd like £5 million for 2% of our business, and Dragon's over to you. And they're like, all right, how much turnover have you had in the last year? We've had £12,000 turnover, showing a net loss of £1 million. And they're like, okay, so how do you value your company at, let me think, what was that, 2% for £5 million? That'd be 250 million pounds. We are open to negotiation on the equity. And they're like, your numbers are just so far off here, Amut. How the fuck can Tesla lose money every year, which they seem to do, and they're still apparently worth billions and billions and billions? If it's not making any money, how much can something be worth? I don't understand.
I need an explanation. It's like the Leonardo da Vinci's Mona Lisa, you know? It's one of them.
A mediocre painting that everybody wets themselves about. You mean?
Yeah, that is it. It's hype. It's at the number. It's okay. So it's in all of the trackers now.
Mm.
It didn't used to be. It's just got into the S&P 500, which is the big tracker. And you can't be in that unless you make a profit. So apparently they've made a profit, or at least shown that they've made one or something. That means that people who buy index funds, which is most people who get an exposure to the entire stock market, pick up Tesla just automatically now.
See, you've completely lost me. I don't know what trackers or index markets or portfolios or any of that
looks
shit.
Looks like I came back just in time. Let me educate you guys a little bit on indexes.
There's a lot of reasons.
Trackers.
A lot of people believe that electric cars are the future. A lot of people, like, we've apparently now got to have all cars be electric in the UK by 2030.
So my daughter said... Well, when this really smelly van went past the other day, we were on the way to school, and she said, don't worry, Daddy, by 2030, all cars will be electric. And I said, I don't think that's going to work. I think they're going to say all new cars will be electric.
Yes, that's right. They're not going to manufacture...
Right, so it'll be another 20 or 30 years after that you generally don't see crusty old bangers.
Well, and the thing is, though, this date's changed a couple of times already.
Apart from Lewis's mum.
It'll keep getting pushed back because... It's too much of a big sweeping change to be done in like 10 years' time.
I missed that, my mum joke. That was a good one. Cheers, but all right, Sips. Like I think people are.
I missed the mum joke. Can you repeat it?
I don't think I can. Lewis, your mum is okay, isn't she? Before I make a mum joke,
a crusty old banger. Yeah,
oh my
she's
God.
Doing all right.
Did you like the whoa?
I did. I like the slide whistle style.
You got to chuck one of those in there.
I love those little cute noises. No, I think people are banking on America and China and the people voting with their wallets and buying electric cars, right? I think that's where the market's going. The youth of today who are going to be buying the next generation of cars, people invest in companies that they think will do well in the future. And I think people think Tesla's going to do really well and make loads of money and be really big and be the next Uber. And I'm sure there's some speculation, but also you know, it's some, among the ranks of the biggest companies in the world.
I think it's like mostly 500 billion speculation, right? I
mean, 500, it's crazy. 500 billion.
Yeah, billion. It's mad.
A
it's
billion. Billions. Just take a billion and get 500
billions.
Of those.
Yeah.
Oh, the numbers are just astonishing.
It's a big number. A billion is a very big number. People don't realize. It's a big number, guys.
Billion is the new million, right? When I was a kid, $1 million with interest rates and stuff, you could live off the interest, no problem. But now you kind of like can't live off $1 million, right? Like,
well, I think one of the reasons is there's no fucking interest anymore.
Well,
there hasn't been an interest rate for
like
20 years.
Reason. But also, obviously, everything just costs a lot more than it did like 30 years ago or 35 years ago or whatever.
Yeah.
But it's crazy to think that what used to be this huge number that everybody wanted is like still big. Don't get me wrong. But like if you won $1 million and you were like, I don't know, 30, you probably wouldn't be able to live off of that $1 million.
Right. That's not the rest of your life there for sure.
Yeah.
Anyone that thinks it is has never tried to buy a house.
No. Yeah. I mean, it's crazy.
And
house,
if you look at what the
house
interest
alone
on that would
will
be,
wipe out half, if not more.
Right. And then there goes your interest and all the rest of it.
Yeah. Yeah. It's crazy.
It's interesting to like, yeah, like, well, that's part of, but a billion is so far away from that. And then 500 billion is like, again, just so far away. It's
what is that thing about how
money.
Long you'd have to, if to count to a million would take you? Hang on, I'll look.
I don't think anyone's going to turn down $1 million. And I think $1 million will put you on a path to being comfortable for the rest of your life.
What if you got $1 million, but you had to play 5 hours of Raid Shadow Legends every day for the rest of your life? For the million, would you do it?
So let me give you an idea here. If you wanted to count to a million, like every 1 second is one number.
I love
so one,
that question, Six. That's
fucking
so good.
Shadow Legends.
I know.
If you counted to a million, it'd take you 11.5 days. If you counted to a billion, it would take you 31.75 years. That's the difference between
to
the
try
two,
and count right? from a million yeah. to a billion.
No. To count from zero to a billion would take you that long. Like that's the difference between a million is 11.5 days. And a billion is 31.75 years. That's how
Sorry,
big
counting
the difference
to a million
is,
takes
11.5 days. If you just went 1, 2, 3, like 1 second per, then it would take you that long.
Jeez.
That's so crazy.
That
it
is
would take
crazy,
you 30
yeah.
years to count to a billion.
Yeah, yeah.
I take
and
it
11
back.
Days
the
to billion, count to a
million isn't the new million. Yeah. I'd say 10 million is the new 1 million, right? I think that's a bit more.
So how long would it take you to count to 500 billion?
Well, geez,
500 times as long as 30 days.
So let me just run the math here, actually. Okay, I'll just carry the 7
so
here, and then a couple of repeating numbers
so 1500
here.
1,500 years.
I think it's going to take 8,000 and
so if you started counting
85 years to
back
count
in the dark ages, you'd be able, you just have got to 500 billion now.
Yeah.
Oh, God. See, I mean, the only reason these numbers can even exist is because we use digital currency, right? No one's got $500 billion. Like,
I don't think. I mean, how much cash? How much cash in Britain? How much physical cash?
How much physical cash has ever been printed? Ever?
Oh my
Currently
God!
Currently, less than 3% of our medium exchange in the UK is physical cash. 97% is electronic commercial bank money.
Yeah, I guess loans and debt and that all that stuff just makes more of it, doesn't it, as well?
So in the US, there's $1.5 trillion in physical currency.
I guess there's always been a lot of paper, a lot of the idea of money, not necessarily actual money.
Well, and think about, I mean, that's what they can count, right? Think of all those pallets of like shrink-wrapped stacks of bills that like drug dealers have in their warehouses and stuff too, right?
Yeah, like,
oh, I guess no, that already has been counted, right?
It's, yeah. It's well, they just know how like much they've printed, more
not fully in circulation, maybe, because
yeah, but they know how much they printed. You
yeah,
can
exactly.
Check the
receipt. Yeah, yeah.
But I guess wealth is different though, isn't it? Because, I mean, you're not putting when you're valuing a company, you're not that's not worth that much. That's not creating money effectively. It's what people, it's like digging gold out of the ground. That gold is worth something, but it's not factored in. Like, you don't print an equal amount of money when you dig some gold out of the ground, right? Or when you build a house, you don't print some money to match it, right?
I mean, that's why we're not on the gold standard, are we? So
no.
It used to be that the money was actually equivalent to gold, and some people are like, that's what we should go back to, and that's a really bad idea.
It's a terrible idea for so many reasons, but it's never really worked for a long time. But then again, the currency supplies that we have around the world don't work super well a lot of the time anyway, because of various other issues with things like, you know, but we got the, we're doing the best we can. I'm sure everyone's doing the best they can out there. And we're keeping our peckers up as much as we can out there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what I want to say to all these politicians. You know, keep your pecker up.
Yeah. Keep your peckers up. You're doing a fairly mediocre job, but we're getting through. We're just sliding through.
Yeah.
It's fine.
You're doing the probably the bare minimum you can to hold on by the skin of your teeth to a fairly shitty job working with probably assholes. Good luck to you.
Good luck.
That's my motto. That is my motto. I've got that printed above my bed. I wake up every morning. Keep being mediocre.
Yeah. Just then people won't notice you. Do you know what I mean? I was talking to Daff the other day, and we had this guy come in as like an intern.
Oh, Lewis, good morning. I'm Daff. Can I make you a cup of tea?
That's Daff. Daff's the best employee we've ever had, by the way.
He actually is.
We had this guy come in and do sort of, and what he would do is he would finish whatever we asked him to do. Well, he wasn't on my team, so I didn't really do this. This is secondhand, but apparently we finished his task or whatever he was given, and then just sit there. Like silently, and people would notice me. Like, are you all right? And he was like, "Yep." And then that was it. So it's like an hour would go by, 2 hours would go by, and you'd be like, "Do you need some help?" He's like, "Oh, I finished the task, so I'm just waiting." I'm like, "Okay." So do you need a new task? Yes. Okay. Well, we could do that. And so it was very odd, and this sort of kept happening because normally, I guess people would just browse Reddit or just try and look busy or fake looking busy.
He didn't know how to fake.
Or go and just meander around the kitchen or walk around the office. Just like if you work in a big office, you might just walk around and talk to people and just, you know, say, what do you think of this? And, you know, just waste time. Right?
I'm reading a book called Bullshit Jobs by a guy called David Graeber. He's really interesting. He's an anarchist, so he's a bit of a nut, but he's very, very funny. And it's about how many jobs out there are bullshit jobs where you just do nothing. And he got all these people to send him accounts of their terrible jobs. Oh, gosh. Wow. Excuse me. And there's like a guy whose job is
better out than in.
This woman spends months and months working at this company, producing like holiday brochures before she realizes that the company is actually a scam and she's hasn't done anything. She's never seen the magazine that they're meant to be producing. Nothing. Right. She managed to do it for 6 months and she was like, "How bullshit must my job be if I work there and I didn't even realize we weren't doing anything?" Like that's. That's grim. And it's like how many jobs exist purely, like he said, in the past, like medieval times, you had all these people that were employed as footmen who just stood around and sort of looked impressive. And they did nothing. I mean, they didn't do anything. They just were there. And how many jobs essentially are managers needing people so that they look important? It's a very interesting book, and I recommend it.
Yeah. That's really interesting. I think there is an art to surviving in these games as well, right? Like, and seeing through the scammy boss nature of the way people. I think I've spoken to some people who I don't know. Some people who sort of found these jobs online, went into the place. It felt a bit scammy. The guy worked them really hard for like a week and then fired them all. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
With some bullshit excuse. You know, it was almost like he needed a bunch of chumps for a job and he made them all these promises, you know.
Yeah.
And obviously people want to impress him and get a full-time job there. And so they work hard for the first week. And his strategy was that, oh, I'm just going to employ people for a very short time, you know, steal any creativity they have, any ideas they have for my project, and then fire them and get new people in. It was very odd, very, very exploitative, kind of slightly seedy.
Some people don't give a shit.
Gross boss.
They're happy to be terrible people. If it means they might make a tiny bit of money.
Yeah.
That's life.
I think I'm a bit old fashioned in this sense because I still believe that like honest work for honest pay, you know, like if I'm walking down the lane and somebody says to me, "Hey, you come dig a hole," and I dig the hole, I'll do it for a nickel and a glass of cold lemonade. And I feel satisfied with that exchange.
These post-depression times are very tough.
You know, so I've spent 2 hours digging a hole
dig that road.
Without my shirt on, and I've been paid appropriately, and I've been given a little bonus as well.
What was the bonus?
My life expectancy is probably about 20 years.
You look like
years.
A hardworking young man with a foot full of spunk and vigor and the youth of today.
Yeah.
Do you want to earn a nickel working for me? an entrepreneur of the times.
Me, an entrepreneur.
Yeah. We've got this new material that everyone's going crazy about. It's called asbestos.
Dig this ditch. There's a moon pie and a hand job in it for you.
Yeah. No, what happened to those days? I want those ones back, you know, when you could just like leave your house on any given day, walk down the street, and somebody just gives you some sort of job to do. You know what I mean? Yeah, you don't get that anymore.
What, like... I mean, I think there is. It's just they use immigrants. Like, I know that in a lot of parts of America, if you have labor jobs to do, you go, there's like a street corner, you go there and there'll be a bunch of immigrants there and you pick them up in a van and they do the job and you pay them cash.
I thought that was just in the movies and TV shows.
No, it's a real thing.
They all hang out around a coffee shop and you just pull up and say, hey, I need a gardener. And then
beep, beep, need eight people today. And the first eight lads on the van get paid. That's pretty much it.
Jesus. Okay, well, maybe I take it all back then. I guess these jobs still exist. Do they get a cold lemonade too, do you think?
Or? Of course.
Oh, right, well, perfect.
I would expect that was part of the deal.
No hand job.
Like an iced tea, maybe?
Well, it's cash in hand. It's a cash in hand job, I guess.
That's what they mean. When they say cash in hand, they mean cash in my hand.
Cold bottle of suds.
Cash your dick in my hand.
Wink. Yeah.
Well, I take it all back. I honestly, I know what you're talking about, but I just thought that was like a movie thing. You know, I thought that was a bit of a trope thing. I didn't realize that actually happened.
I think you have to be a certain kind of person to drive up to a bunch of people hanging around outside a hardware store and roll the window down and, like, I don't know, like you're picking up a prostitute and say, I'll have that one at the back and that tall guy.
You, how much can you lift? Much. Get in.
Okay.
It is seedy. I don't know how much this happens really, but I guess there is a time when, you know, the boiler's playing up and I wish I could just drive to a hardware store. There's an out of work, you know, boiler man there and he's wearing the British Gas hat and stuff and you're like, you get in, hiring you for the day. And he does the boiler. You're like, there's a leaky pipe under here, could you fix that? And the shower head's just like a bit sort of gunched up. Do you think I need a new one? Or because I can't get the old one off. Do you know what I mean? Just get all those odd jobs done. And then as soon as he's done, you give him a lemonade, quick hand job.
Yeah.
And out the door.
Why a hand job?
Do you give him the hand job,
yeah,
or does he give you the hand job?
I think just the lemonade.
No, I mean,
honestly.
It's paying. You're paying him cash in hand, remember? So you pay him.
Oh.
It's cash.
So I guess
hand.
You can choose whether you give the hand job or receive the hand job.
Well,
it's up to you.
Do you want good people? Then you better get busy. That's all I'm saying. You better start working those muscles.
Oh, man, I see. I assume online has replaced a lot of this stuff.
I don't know, because it implies that they have to have the internet.
What kind of jobs can you do online, though? Like data inputting and
scamming. Gold farming.
Bitcoin mining.
But also, I mean, the online's replaced the back pages of the local newspaper where there would be man with a van, you know, able to...
You've got Craigslist, haven't you? So
yeah. I feel like Craigslist...
You can set up like an eBay account and sell like your old stuff too. You might have like some old napkins or, I don't know, an old sandwich that looks like Jesus or whatever they sell on eBay.
It's mostly it's Jesus shaped stuff. People
pack of happy 22 napkins,
Pokemon cards that are worth like 40 grand and stuff.
Three plastic rulers.
Incubus album scratched. Yeah, it's like random shit, isn't it?
It really is.
One
yeah.
used tissue. $5.
It's really not that. I think a lot of people just use eBay as shit Amazon. They just resell stuff on there because it's just another place to get vision on your product, right?
I know. I mean, I know a bunch of people that have had eBay stores. My friend had one, but he used to buy Lego, bulk secondhand Lego or charity shop Lego, and then on eBay he had a store and you could customize which bricks you wanted. So if you just wanted 10 of the little tour bricks in purple or whatever, he could do that. So you would literally select exactly what you wanted from his store page, and then they would post it, and they would make like a fraction of a profit on each Lego sale.
Yeah, so Lego do this. You can actually do that on Lego
but
now.
But that's extremely time-consuming,
low
profit.
Oh my god, isn't it? And you've got to have an absolutely massive like warehouse space for all the little parts, right? To hold on to it all. And also like buying up you've got to understand that most Lego on the internet, I say most, but a good proportion of it's probably been played with by kids and their sticky fingers. And I don't really want to be buying used Lego on eBay because it's feels like, I guess most Lego people are quite clean, but also kids. And so, I don't know, just the idea of it all being covered in jam.
I think the most depressing
it, like, smells
thing
funny
I've ever so seen in
a,
my life.
I guess he has to run a bath and like soap all the Lego up and wash it and then dry it on a towel. I'm sorry, I'm going into the whole idea of buying secondhand Lego and selling it out of your house. Like,
It's grim.
My friend's dog took a shit one time, and inside the shit there was one of those two brick Legos. That was depressing. Like it passed through his whole stomach and everything. Come out in his shit. Just one of
those.
Whose
phone is that?
That's mine. Sorry.
He's just leaving it.
I gotta leave it. Yeah, I can't. I can't disturb.
I was like, it was carried on. I was like, is it what? Is it my phone? Is it someone?
No, it's someone else.
It's in my house.
It's mine. I told the guy to email me. I don't know why he's calling me again, but there you go.
Don't
answer?
Yeah.
Was this the guy you picked up from
to do your
hand job?
No, it's because I've told you guys that we're trying to get our loft converted, right?
Yeah, many times.
Oh, right.
Is it finally happening?
It's like, it's getting there. It's not straightforward at all, it turns out.
Oh.
When we had ours done, it was a huge production.
Yeah.
Like, it took months.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, my God. I might have to,
the family might have to stay with you in the shed for a while.
They've dug up part of my driveway, and they've cut out part of my deck in my backyard at the two corners of the house because they have to inspect the foundations.
Are they going to put pillars up?
No, I don't think they need to. They just need to see how far down the foundation goes to see.
I believe it was a reference to the foundation of the earth being placed.
I know.
You glossed over it so quickly.
I'm just done with that. I'm really done with that conversation. That's why I just wanted to.
No, that's fair. Let's quickly on.
He's onto the stress of this fucking roof loft extension.
So they have to inspect the foundations because in order for the loft to go in and have some stairs going up to it and stuff, they basically have to reconfigure my roof. Like it's like it's like a truss or something. I can't remember what it's called.
So at the moment your roof will be like a triangle, right?
It is, yeah.
So
but they're going to put some dormers
They flatten it out so it becomes like a sloping on one side, and then it should be a flat roof that ends in a flat wall rather than a sloping.
Yeah.
Because that's like the, otherwise there's no fucking space up there. Like they flatten it out.
Yeah.
And then you put your room up there.
Well,
but when they did ours, there's obviously no stairs going up to the loft.
Yeah.
And where we had the stairs in the house meant they had to remove a staircase, which is the most mind-boggling thing when they do it, especially because the staircase was just in a supporting wall. So they had to remove the entire middle wall of the house.
Yeah.
And the stairs. And all the brickwork, everything that was there, prop it up with these big sort of
pillars,
metal poles that they just crank up there temporarily to hold the fucking house up. And then they put steel beams in a sort of H if the top bit of the H was missing.
Yeah.
What shape would that be? Like a goal, like a football goal.
Yeah.
That's it. And those steels weigh like a ton.
That's it. That's what they're doing.
It's unbelievable.
In ours as well. And that's why they have to make sure that the foundation can support the extra weight and stuff. So it's like, it's fairly complicated, but I mean, it's been approved and everything, but it's just the structural engineer needs to come in and do his stuff. So that was him on the phone. It's like, it's interesting, but it's really... really,
it's scary.
Yeah, it's really convoluted process. But yeah, you're banking on these people knowing what they're doing because you don't want your house to collapse in on you one day. Which is kind of weird.
It is scary.
Yeah,
it's scary because they literally cut open your house like to its most personal sort of points, and you're like, damn, there's nothing left. Like they really opened up my house here. It does feel a little
Hope they don't dig down too far and expose my weird, dark, creepy sex dungeon that I've got deep
it,
in
dude.
The foundations of my house. When they were drilling the driveway, I was very anxious that all of a sudden they were going to, I could hear the disco music, and at one point I thought they drilled too far down and I saw like some neon light coming out, but I think
what you got there is just, you got the skeletons of Bo's just lying around. What you need to do is you need to dig a bit deeper and concrete them over, you know, otherwise you get the smell coming up.
Yeah,
you know,
I had a really weird dream about digging in my neighborhood.
Right.
It was like, because at night, you know, sometimes
that sounds like the most 80s TV show ever.
Yeah. It's like a Tom Hanks movie.
At night, if you're lying there unable to sleep, sometimes you'll hear very strange, distant city noises.
Yeah.
something's happening. Like sometimes from Heathrow, a plane will go out that sounds like none of the other planes. And I'm like, damn, like,
That's when they get the UFOs out.
That's what I'm thinking. So sometimes at night, I'll hear really weird, distant construction sounds. And I thought, I was lying there sort of dreaming, half imagining, like a lucid dream. What if they're digging a tunnel to hell?
Man, imagine this though, Flax. You hear those construction sounds, okay, and you think that it's in real life, but what if it's the little dream dwarfs in your mind?
That's also what worries me.
Constructing your dreams.
Oh, there was a Twilight Zone episode. There was a Twilight Zone episode where people come in and sort of remove the old stuff from your time bit as you're moving forward in time.
Yeah,
and they construct the next bit.
Yeah.
So sometimes when you lose something and then find it again, and you're like, I'm sure I left it there. And you go away and you come back and then it's there. It's because they forgot to put your keys back when they were quickly changing over. So time is like a series of boxes. And when you move forward from one box to another, the deconstructors come in and remove all the furniture and trash everything and then go off and create the next box beyond the one you're in. And I thought, damn, that's a really cool concept. But this couple gets stuck there and they've seen it.
Oh.
And they're like, yeah, you know the truth now, so you're stuck here forever.
They've exposed,
it was a really weirdo episode.
Yeah.
But yeah,
is the box flat?
It explains a lot. No, it's like it's just a visualization. It's not, you're not actually in a box. But the guy explained, he was like, imagine if you're in, like, we construct your bit of time. And then once that starts to decay and you move forward in time, I don't know.
Time's a string, right? It's like a one-dimensional thing.
Well, no, we can only perceive it moving in one direction, right? But, I mean, that was the whole point of the film Arrival, was that those aliens could perceive time as in its entirety. Like, they were fourth-dimensional beings, so they could travel at will, mentally, forwards and backwards through time, whereas we can only travel in one direction. I watched a video about this the other day.
Yeah.
Imagine if you were one-dimensional beings and two people had an argument and one of them said, I'm leaving, I'm never coming back, and walked away. They would eventually come back around to the other person. They'd be like, how did this happen? Well, it's because they're actually living on a sphere, but they can't perceive it because they are one dimensional. So they think that their universe is just flat, one direction, that's it. So we are three dimensional, but when we can't perceive time, we just experience it because it's a dimension. So we can't perceive the beginning and the end and all the rest of it. We can only perceive one bit of it at a time. But if we were four-dimensional beings, we could move around in time at will.
Which would be a completely different experience. In the same way that
nutty.
A 2D organism would be, again, a very different experience. Like
We can't imagine it because we're three-dimensional.
Yeah, I saw a lot of that stuff, like being three dimensions, looking into two dimensions. And it's like everything's like an amoeba, right? It's like a little blood cell. So you can see the little edge of it, and then it's got all its insides. And whenever I thought about going from four dimensions to three dimensions, I was like, can they see inside us? Do you know what I mean? Like, that was the thing that I was like in my head.
Can who see inside us? The amoeba?
People in four dimensions. Can they see inside us?
No.
I guess not.
No, because the three dimensions are still the three dimensions. It's just that the fourth dimension would be time, as by our understanding. So they would be able to perceive all time. Do you remember at the end of Interstellar?
Yeah.
So the beings there who, you know, they built something inside the black hole. To them, time is like a thing that they can construct, and you can go backwards and forwards in it, no problemo, to any point, and sort of interfere with it. Because he goes back in time and sends a message by tapping the... Sorry for the multiple spoilers this episode.
Yeah. Jeez. If you're planning on watching Interstellar...
If you haven't seen these movies, P-Flex, they're still very watchable, because P-Flex is talking about the kind of slightly odd, complex concepts that aren't really very well accepted in terms of, you know, actual science. But carry on.
Kind of interesting to think, though, if what Lewis was saying about a four-dimensional being able to see inside of a three-dimensional being, that would mean that if they looked inside my friend's dog, they would see that two brick piece of Lego in his gutty works before he shit it out.
It would because they could see time, and so they
would
know.
They would be able to see him eating.
They would have seen him eating it and shitting it at the same time.
Wow!
Or potentially,
Arrival has a really good example of how you could actually live that way. In that, she's in one period of time in the past, and a guy says something. He says it's a zero sum game. It's a zero sum. Not non-zero sum equation is used in a conversation. And in the future, she has a conversation with her daughter where her daughter asks, What is that term for when something is, you know, balanced and all the rest of it? And she's like, no, I don't know. And she's like, she travels back into the past to remember that phrase and then goes back into the future and reminds and tells her daughter non-zero sum game. And you sort of think, wow, that was weird. But when you watch the movie again, you realize that she's begun traveling across her whole lifespan, all the time that she has and ever experiences. She can travel to any point and she can use things from the past to change or remind herself of things in the future. It's very
that
cool.
That went completely over my head.
If you saw the movie, you'd understand.
What's the movie
I did.
Called?
I've seen it like twice and I didn't even realize that was happening.
Yeah. Arrival, is it called?
It's brilliant, yeah. Oh, it's about these aliens arrive, you know, hence the name of the film.
In a big egg.
I get it.
Yes, but they're all over the world and they speak this weird language that they can't understand. It's all pictograms and sort of circular ink splots. And as she begins to learn their language, she starts to have these weird experiences where she suddenly sees a child she's never seen before or a person she's never seen before. And she starts to realize, you know, something strange is happening to her.
As well as her past.
Right. Yeah. So what's happening is, as she begins to understand their language, she begins to move to be able to perceive time as they do, which is as a circle with no beginning or end. It's just that the start of your life and the end of your life represent the ends of those circles, but you can move to any point on that track. So she knows that she's going to have a daughter, and she also knows that her daughter is going to die and does it anyway. And when she tells her husband this, he's livid and storms off. So the film starts and we think she's just a divorcee. But whose daughter has died, but of course that hasn't happened yet. That is literally the biggest spoiler in the entire film. I'm so sorry.
I've forgotten it completely. Yeah. And I think it may have even got over my head.
I'll check it out though. That sounds good. That sounds good.
Yeah, I enjoyed it. I'd recommend it.
I've been watching the Queen's Gambit recently.
Oh, Queen's Gambit was great.
Yeah, I'm almost done. I've got two episodes left, but I've really enjoyed it. I think it's really good.
I can recommend it as well.
You can play her on chess.com. Elizabeth Harmon. You can play her. So they programmed the chess bot to play like her.
All right.
And it plays like her. Because all the games are based on real games of chess.
Yeah.
There's a YouTuber called Agad Mator who does an analysis of chess games, both current and historic.
I watched a couple of videos. They've gone super viral.
He's brilliant.
Yeah, he's obviously like a fairly professional chess player who makes these
good
analysis videos. Some of them are a little bit skippable, but generally like really interesting stuff. And the whole TV series, you don't have to know about chess to watch it, and it doesn't go into detail about the chess beyond like, you know. It almost like you don't even really have to pay attention to the chess games. It's more about, oh, she's the commentator's like, oh, she's stuck in this position. What's she going to do? Do you know what I mean? That sort of stuff.
Yeah.
It's good because it subverts your expectations. Like it's not
what you expect it's going to be at all. I was expecting any minute for the subplot to pop up that would be fucking dull and shitty, and it just didn't.
I was
constantly
expecting the tropes to hit, you know, because she goes into an orphanage. You're expecting all these things to happen that you're being conditioned through decades of television to be like, oh yeah, at an orphanage, this is going to happen.
Yeah.
And it doesn't happen. And you're like, okay. And then she's like, she goes to this thing and you're like, okay, at this thing, this is going to happen. And it doesn't happen. And you're like, oh. And it's constantly almost a relief.
Exactly. I was so relieved. I was like, they didn't fuck it up, which is a shame because that's not a very positive thing to say about a show, but it is good.
Yeah, no.
It's better than just
It's just not fallen. It's almost like someone, they haven't had that asshole in charge who's like, but hey, we got an orphanage here. Why ain't we got an abusive children going on? Let's get some abusing going on. Yeah. Do you know what I mean?
Her relationship with her adopted mother, I thought that was going to be that her mother was like, no girls play chess.
Yeah.
And that would be like the whole film would be her struggling with that.
Actually,
it was brilliant.
It was really
I thought her and her mum was great. Yeah. I mean, they were obviously, it was kind of a toxic, they enabled each other to be terrible alcoholics and you know, but you could tell that they were both just kind of miserable.
We're going to be light on spoilers here because it's if you haven't watched it, do so. Because I recommend it.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed
good.
It. And I think just it's enough to say that it subverted my expectations.
Absolutely.
And that is rare enough, God, on television, it feels like these days.
Like, be honest, you know, when she's in the basement very early on learning to play chess with that old guy, I really assume, oh, this guy's going to fucking molest her, isn't he? Like, that's what's going to happen. This is going to suck.
Yeah.
It sucks, though, that our brains go there.
I know.
Well, it's just because most of those settings are lead-ups to that kind of thing happening in most movies and TV shows and stuff, right?
It's
like a conditioning. Like, we're just used to those settings.
Lazy, shitty TV and films.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's refreshing to see a different side of things.
Yeah,
you know, I think it was great, and I recommend it. Yeah, what else you guys been watching? What should he daytime TV? What should he crappy movies?
Again, I don't watch daytime TV. I watched a film called Dark Waters with Mark Ruffalo. Kind of boring, in all honesty. Like, it's about a guy who he's a lawyer for a big city firm, but he's from like fucking West Virginia or something like that.
Yeah.
And they're like, "Oh, shitty boy now, are you? Come on back and help me with my poisoned cows." And he's like, "I can't help you with your poisoned cows. I'm a busy lawyer." And they're like, "Oh, look how bad my cows are all. They got sores on them and they're all sick." He's like, "Oh, okay, I'll have a look." And it's a true story. So it's actually kind of not that dramatic. And it's all about how DuPont Chemicals dumped stuff in the oceans. And I didn't realize this, but Teflon, when they made Teflon, it was like this miracle product. If you want to know, any miracle product made in the 50s or 60s is going to kill us all. Like, that's pretty much the way it is.
Right,
so
yeah.
So Teflon is like, they invented Teflon. It's like a long chain of carbons with one fluoride atom in it or something. And it's fucking indestructible. And it exists in like 99.9% of all living things on Earth now because of the way they dumped Teflon. It's in them, apparently. That's what it says at the end of the film. And that's true. And I was like, okay, that fucking sucks.
Humans are full of things, though. Like, we've got loads of microplastics
in us. We're not meant to be.
We've got loads of dodgy stuff in us. We've got loads of heavy metals in us. Like,
we're not meant to be. That's the point, isn't it?
And it's almost impossible to get it out, right? Because new humans are born from other humans who are full of all this stuff. And so, you know, you get a baby, and even a baby's born with, you know, microplastics.
Yeah, all these non-stick plastic-filled babies are being born
scary
all over the
shit,
fucking
dude.
Place.
This is some sci-fi dystopian shit.
Like, I've seen them go find, they take samples from the deep ocean of animals, and they've got like plastic in them because it just filters down to the low levels, and it gets in these tiny prawns and shit down there. They've got plastic in them. They've probably got fucking Teflon in there as well.
God damn.
What's going to happen?
We're eating those. And we're eating those. Those are the good ones to get because you control those off the bottom of the fucking sea. Do you know what I mean?
Right.
They're the tasty ones.
I think the big takeaway here, ladies and gentlemen, is don't eat Teflon.
You've already got enough in your pans.
You don't need
when
more.
When you fry up your food in your Teflon pan, you're eating it, Sid.
That's true, actually.
You've got to use a microwave.
That's true.
This is the solution.
No. But hey, listen, I gotta go.
Oh shit.
I'm sorry.
Okay,
we have to.
You gotta go.
We have to do a quick one today. But
this is the very first Christmas Triforce. We'll do another one next week.
I mean, me and Lewis could carry on for a bit, but I guess that would be awkward.
Oh no, let's not do that. That's gonna be some weird date. It's like, you know, this isn't the.
Sorry, you don't want to hang out with me. That's cool. No. I understand.
I understand. I'm insufferable. I see why you wouldn't want to. It's just one of those.
Thank
things.
You for listening to the Triforce podcast.
Thank you.
This is good. It was good, Bob. We'll see you next week, everybody.
Bye.
Take it
easy. Bye. Bye. Bye.